This week on RSBNB Update, Pumpkin Pete brings the 2023 version of the RuneScape Halloween event. We cover rewards, what's missing from years past, and predatory pumpkins. It's a fun event, but what does it mean for the future of RuneScape? We answer that question. Also, another big one, is RuneFest making a comeback? This is RSBNB Update, episode 957, recorded Thursday, October 19th, 2023. Predatory pumpkins. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis, welcome aboard. In the flesh here, video, as per usual, now.
Well, I'm always in the flesh. I'm not like a disembodied spirit out
there. Well, I mean, it's Halloween. You never know, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I ever am a disembodied spirit, I'm going to haunt the shit out of RuneScape. And
some very specific people, I bet.
Oh, man. We're going to watch out.
All right.
Watch out.
Parnassius is also here. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Funny to see myself on camera. I'm as I was saying pre-show, it's not often that I'm sort of in front of a camera.
Yeah, well this is something anyway. One thing I've noticed, and this is, but not to get too far off the track here, it's actually, you guys were wondering about this, and it's actually provided more engagement on YouTube, believe it or not, in terms of people seeing things. But nonetheless, we do this show each and every week, folks. Sorry for that little distraction. I want to thank, of course, the people that make RSBNB Update possible. That is, of course, our experienced tier Patreon members, who this week are Amos Reed, Andrew C, Drama Free, Jason S, Jesse W, Keski, Ricky A, Rippeth, Runestar, Seth W, and the Naked Captain. And of course, as well, we'll be talking about Halloween. You can find everything about this week's show in our full show notes at update.show. I am Shane12088 in game. Tanis can be found at Tanis79. He's top right quadrant. And Parnassius is Parnassius Bottom right now. I should also say we have the French Tat Bits Bites as well in the community Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. But are you guys ready to get stuck into this Halloween event here? How are we feeling here with this compared to events of
like a juvenile delinquent?
What does that mean?
Smashing pumpkins.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's different. I mean, for someone like me who, as people know, I have the sort of back issues, so I spend a lot of time on the game. The previous ones where you sort of got a currency every 10 minutes of play meant the longer I played, the more chances I had. Still didn't do me any good. I mean, last time I handed in 280,000 paper for nothing. Shane hands in 22,000 and gets the top prize. But it's just one of those things. But, you know, it sort of gave me more of a chance. This one here where it's random. Like, I mean, I can go sometimes 45 minutes to an hour with seeing only one pumpkin.
Whereas I get three on one farming run.
Exactly. You know, that sort of that RNG factor there, I think, sort of.
Yeah.
It doesn't reward the sort of the long-term player.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that, the way I see them going around this in terms of getting the pumpkins for yourself, is that every time you go to one of the pumpkin parties and you complete it, you also get five of the gourd gobstoppers, which is the item that actually spawns your own personal smashing pumpkin.
Yes.
So if the RNG isn't doing it for you, that's how you bring them into the game.
Yeah, which I have 35 in the bank at the moment. Well,
there you go.
Yeah, I just got come back from the last Draenor one, so. And that's good. As long as you hit your one pumpkin in those events, you're going to get five gourds. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they do balance it out with that.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is running until November 5th, so that's a long time still.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's running until November
5th. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Well, look, I want to ask you guys this, because for me, this has a very different feel.
I wanted to go there. Thank you.
It went down a very different path, and this is to me more akin to an Easter event than a traditional Halloween event. And granted, I think there did need to be some kind of a change up, you know, because we had
Draenor Manor. We had
Draenor Manor for several years now. Of course, I would say that like last year was probably the height that could have been, right?
So remember, they started that one in 2020, pandemic year, by having you make Plague Soup with bat.
With a bat, yeah.
Throwing the bats. That was
yeah, that was classic Jagex right there.
But that was a good event, but yeah.
This doesn't feel like that to me.
No, and it's a far cry from getting given, you know, a scary item and saying, go hand out candy to five people in Lumbridge and you'll get a Halloween event reward. Or from any of the quests that we had in previous years. It's a far cry from that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you know, just a few. Remember the one we had at the Invention Guild? Like, that was kind of a bigger one. Of course,
the one I remember
always
the most
talk
was
about.
The 2013 one, Death's Mansion.
Still,
that was fun.
Yeah, still the best. I mean, this feels more like an Easter event, and I don't know if it's just because of the random eggs and that, you know, now it's pumpkins.
No, this is the Christmas event rejiggered, really what it is, because Grim Harvest, and this is what we'll get to, this is built around the Treasure Hunter promo, dare I say it, which is a reskin of the promo we get at Christmas. Except instead of wrapping paper, it's Hodmans, and there's no sleigh.
Okay.
And I think that's why you're feeling it, is because at its core, yes, you can earn practically and almost everything in-game through play, either by getting it randomly through a Smashing Pumpkin or from Hodmint purchases that you earn while playing. But at the end of the day, there is no quest, there is no mini-quest, there is no core central area to gather aside from the pumpkin hunting events, which happen every half hour, which, I mean, I guess is fine, right? In terms of getting people out and about.
Well, but, every hour on the half hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's the issue you're bringing up, Tanis, is that there's no mini quest, there's no traditional event fueling with it, as people would say, going back to any of the previous events. And, you know, I'm going to challenge you right here. And I'm going to say, what is the core aspect of these events that's missing from this one?
So, I think...
I feel like mini quest is definitely one thing.
Yeah, the mini quest, I would say the central...
Feel.
Yeah, because if you look at the most successful Halloween event, there's a difference between what I think people expect in a Halloween event versus a Christmas event versus a Easter event. And it's not just on the surface of, hey, we want to see Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. It's the way that it has been done in the past. And Halloween always comes with a communal space, with activity. It kind of harkens back to the time you can be a kid and go into your school's Halloween carnival or something, right? And having different places, different things to do. And there'd be a story along with it, you know, like you're talking about with the mini quest. And, you know, I venture to say that even if there had been a different plan, they wouldn't have had time to do it anyway because of
honestly,
stuff they had to do.
Right. And honestly, I think that's what it comes down to, is the fact that the content teams are focused on core content that is in-game permanently and not to be removed and not to be in-game for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And if you're going to dedicate an entire team to put 6 to 8 weeks dev time into something that is going to be in-game for 2 and a bit weeks and then is going to be removed for a year, you want to get reusability out of it. You don't want it to be one and done. And I see this as being a focus on actual content for the game rather than these events. And with these events, they can kind of farm these out to the live ops team for things like Treasure Hunter promos and that angle of it and the like.
And that would be an end of an era.
Yeah, and like I honestly think that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't understand why they can't rehash some of the old ones. Like, I mean, bring back Death's House and have the new rewards on that, because that was fun. It's there in game. Maybe it just needs a bit of polishing up. But I mean, those fun events where, you know, you're running around killing the ghosts, getting the ectoplasm drops, or, you know, those type of things back then, they were fun. I mean, and I understand they're sort of looking at, well, hey, people want this AFK type thing these days. This is nice and easy. We just, you know, reskin a Seren spirit and have that pop up randomly. That's fine, but there's no involvement. There's no, I don't know. With those old events, it was like, oh, wow, you know, the party's on. Let's get out there, have a chat to people. We're running around doing things. It brings about that sense of community. Whereas this, like even now, I'm sitting down here at the Ghostly Soul spot just fishing and clicking on pumpkins if they appear. It's like, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just, oh, well, it's another thing in game. There's no special feeling about it.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like,
you know, I have not played the old school Halloween event yet, and I'm going to. But I did not get to that,
you know,
before
what?
The show.
I am actually gonna log on my other account after the show and probably run through that just for that sense of feel.
Yeah, because I need to do other stuff at old school, but the holiday events there, since I've been there, have always been something to come to.
But it's not all bad news. There is a bright spot.
And what's that for you?
I mean, the rewards are pretty damn good.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that. I want to talk about can we talk about the way they do the pumpkin parties first?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we should touch on that.
With people closing the doors all the time on you when you're trying to run around.
Yeah, there's that. There's that, too. So everybody remember to go do your daily, I said the cursed word there, daily. Go do your daily ritual at Pumpkin Pete. In Fort 4 and 3, and when you do that, you're going with that to get some candy when you do that each and every day. But as we mentioned as well, the core aspect of this is the pumpkin parties that turn up every hour at the bottom of the hour, let's just say. And they hotfixed it so that everybody gets 1,000 hodmins to start this event off. These pumpkin parties turn up in Fort 4 and 3, Drainer Village, and the City of And did you guys notice what they're using for this to pull these off?
No.
This is the Wilderness Flash event tech. These are Wilderness Flash events held at other areas in the world with different completion and goals aside them. Because it uses the same UI, it uses the same cooldown mechanic, it's got the group goal and the personal goal. It's using the Wilderness Flash event tech. They said they were going to use that when Flash events came out, and at the time we said, no, that'd be interesting. Maybe that would be some use for a holiday event, and lo and behold, here we are.
I didn't actually notice that until you pointed it out, but yeah, it does have that feel about it, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. They're Wilderness Flash events, except on the surface world for Halloween at Drainer and Fort 4 and 3. I mentioned as well, you need to find one pumpkin to complete this event on the personal side. And I don't know if either of you guys also would have noticed this, but there's yellow dots that spawn on the mini-map that show where the pumpkins are. And they're fixed locations whenever they spawn, and they rotate throughout the event. So when they disappear, they'll switch to a different spawn set with that.
Yeah, the problem with that is, though, that there are so many people in the events. If you can see those yellow dots with my eyes, good luck. And with Tanis, who's worse than me.
And that's what I was going to ask next. How exactly are these for you?
Well, I mean, good and bad. I don't see them well, but their location is it's good, because that's actually how I navigate most of the time. And in a big crowd, I couldn't look at the actual, you know, ground anyway. So,
right.
So that part is good. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm thinking maybe high contrast might help that out a little bit. But we'll see. I don't know if it would affect that or not.
All right. Fair enough. Also, they issued a series of hot fixes on these because when they first launched, it was almost impossible to complete the group objective, mind you. So they put out a hot fix on launch day to make it feel as though you and the team was being more successful. So they increased the time limit on these from 3 minutes to 5 minutes, and the number of pumpkins to complete the group challenge was lowered. And as I mentioned earlier, each event now also awards 5 gourd gobstoppers so that you can get your own collection of personal smashing pumpkins, which can drop all the rewards that we mentioned earlier, like the Saren Spirits and all that other. Well, not the Saren Spirits, but similar tech to the Saren Spirits there.
Pumpkin Spirits.
Yeah. But you know what else I got from this event this week, you guys?
The orange Halloween mask?
No, I didn't get one of those. I didn't get one of those. No. No, my RNG hasn't brought me that yet. I got 6,500 hero points for completing this event.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hero points are just, I mean, it's ridiculous how easy they are.
We're up to 36,000 hero points now in special missions, guys.
Your specials, your dailies and all those. I mean, yeah. I'm at level...
Oh, I'm at 114. I'm going to complete this weekend.
Yeah, I'm at level 178. And there's nothing to spend these hero the points on anymore because I've cleaned out the hero store. So now all I get is those hero satchels, which you can only buy 2 a day anyway, which is just a bunch of random junk in there too.
Good thing you got all the... You got all the cosmetics, because...
Yeah.
You ain't going to have another chance.
I'm sorry, I just had to mention that. I just had to mention that, because it's becoming like a running meme at this point that the content is awarding hero points, and there was that whole discussion about progress that we had, you know, a month and a bit ago at this point. But smashing pumpkins. These operate on the Saren Spirit technology, just like the pumpkin parties operate on the Flash Event technology. Each Saren pumpkin spirit, rather, or smashing, or whatever. What are we calling these?
Pumpkin spirits, let's call them.
Okay. Each pumpkin spirit awards 25 hot mints.
Mm-hmm.
And after you smash 250 pumpkins in total, you get the restored pumpkin mask, which prevents tier one and tier two necromancy sites from having their candles decay. And I mean, you start off with the rotten pumpkin mask, so the more you smash, obviously by the end of this everybody's going to get this pumpkin mask for free, so tier one and tier two rituals will have their candles not degrade, so that's a reward that everybody's going to get from this. So I
And that's ongoing. It's not just for the length of the event, is it?
That's a good question. That's what I was wondering.
Is this just going to run for the length of the event, or is it like it's here forever, like the old Ecto?
I took it as permanent.
Yeah, because the Ensouled Pumpkin Mask is a rarity, and it's actually tradable on the GE, and is presently sitting at 297 mil, price going up. So okay. when worn, it prevents all light sources from degrading when performing rituals. And this is the Ensouled Pumpkin Mask. And in many ways, this is the rare from this promo, because the Pumpkin Beret, that's the second most rare. And believe it or not, the orange Halloween mask is the third most rare. So we have, you would think that it would be the Halloween mask that would be the grand, grand prize in this, but it's actually the unsold pumpkin mask.
Well, because one has a use and one is just cosmetic.
I mean...
And this is a 0.12% chance off of Treasure Hunter. 0.12%.
So what's that, about 2,000 keys?
Let's see, 300 would be 1%. Yeah, around there, around 2,500 or so, I'd say, probably. And that's not even to be guaranteed. That's just to be the point where you would, you know, start having a higher chance of getting it, right?
Yes.
So. And that, and that's where we get to the point. And was this the aspect of the rares you wanted, or the rewards you wanted to talk about, Tannis? Or,
I mean, it is. And so, like, I actually think that's a really good point Parnassius brings up on, you know, permanency versus during the event.
Yeah.
And we can look at the golden cape, right? Like, that was incredible. Wish it still worked. It doesn't.
I love that.
Yeah.
But or you can just charge it up somehow.
But this does, and I don't say it lightly. I don't. But that's kind of pay to win. And if I was working through necromancy like hardcore or had a goal to reach 120 by a certain time, I would drop some money to get that, because it's, I mean, that's a good reward.
Well, yes, it is, but it's, I mean, you have to read.
You went exactly where I wanted you to, Tannis.
Candles
right on.
Aren't overly expensive. You've got to click to, yeah, you right click the totem in the middle to just redo everything anyway. So technically, yes, it is, but I don't think it's egregious pay to win.
But it's definitely further, I think, than we've been.
Oh yes,
in the past, right?
Yeah, we've taken. We're blurring that line now.
Yeah.
Right, and that's where this gets really interesting, because this is, like you mentioned, a series of buffs. We started with the Golden Cape buff, like you mentioned, Tannis, and what was in the middle of that? The Hero Pass buffs. Those were removed, and here's the other end of it. Here's the other end of the spectrum. A gameplay buff awarded via Treasure Hunter, and potentially a pumpkin as well. But, you know, knowing the way things work with monetization, probably more rare with the pumpkin party pumpkins and the smashing pumpkins. So.
And... like, the question that keeps coming up to me in my mind is, I'm assuming that this has already been in place for a long time before the kerfluffle, let's call it. And if that's the case, they were really going in hard.
Yeah.
Real hard.
Yeah. Also, just an updated number on this. 1,800 keys would give you an 11% chance of not getting the unsold Halloween mask. Wow. An 11% chance of not getting it, which means you could still fall into that 11% side. And if we take the most recent promo that's been floating around, buy 200 keys, get up to 400 for free, that brings you up to a 40% chance of getting the unsold pumpkin mask with that promo.
And if you're like me, you know, if there wasn't bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Then, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like $100.
Exactly.
Per 200, man. Like, that's...
is that what it is? $100 for 200 keys?
Yeah.
Something like that,
and
yeah.
And then they double them in this promo to 400.
Ouch.
That's what Tannis and his friends were going off of.
At
the end of Christmas at Fresh Start, right?
I've never bought keys, so I thought, oh yeah, it'd be like $50. So I thought I might just drop. So I was actually going to buy.
And that's American dollars Tannis is talking about. So I don't know what it would convert to Australian.
Australian, that's about $140. So yeah, no, forget that. I said I might buy keys for the first time ever. Yeah, it's still not going to happen.
Yeah,
that's like a year's membership for 200.
Oh, it's more than that.
Thanks.
Yeah,
it's more actually. Yeah. Mm.
And then with that, go back to our discussion that you had about how this doesn't feel like a typical Halloween event, how it feels more Eastery, and it's missing all those aspects.
Yeah. Mm.
And then you connect the dots in between there. And then you look back to what we had with Hero Pass. And then you look back to the buffs that we had with Golden Cape Hunt. And you look at the entire monetization strategy. And I think from a sane perspective, and I underscore the term sane there, from a sane perspective, without any raging or lunacy, I think that this is why the community was having the reaction that they did this week with this event.
Yeah,
sort of. Now that we're looking at it in that regard, it's a little more understandable. Yeah, I mean,
this is the thing. Context is king in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in there and you start raging and you start, you know,
yeah,
running around with your hair on fire, people on the sane side of this spectrum, this podcast, aren't going to listen to you.
No, well, that's the thing. For so many years, every time something comes out, oh, you know, they're jumping up and down. So I'm at the point where I just ignore it.
Right.
But now that I'm actually thinking and looking into it and we're discussing it, I'm going, okay, this time they may actually have a legitimate complaint.
Right, and this comes from somebody
crying
and,
wolf.
Right, yes. But also we give so much credence to this because Tanis is somebody who has bought keys before. Lots of them. And he's saying this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, welcome to RuneScape 3 Halloween.
Yeah, and so the other thing, too, that I think probably, I hate this word, triggered some people was because they did seem responsive after Hero Pass, right? It seemed like, oh, we got our point across. And this is like...
But no,
you know, this is like having a toddler, right? Okay. That's like, it's like making a mess and you're like, stop it. And then you think they're going to, and then you turn around and they're just.
But the thing is, this is a live event that's actually designed to bring money in.
Yeah. And let's also remember, this has probably been in development for a little while. And, you know, the sort of Hero Pass, this may have been sort of ready to go around the same sort of time. So they didn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't developed after the jump up and down about Hero Pass, so it was already. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt and see what happens on the next one.
We know what's happening on the next one. The next one's going to be Christmas, and that's going to follow the same line of Green Santa hat and Green Santa outfit.
Yeah.
And wrapping paper.
Which is fine. Yeah, but if you're making, like, you know, with the yeah, your crowns and all that type of stuff where you're making one of them and things like that. I don't mind it so much. See, I like the Hero Pass one because you were gathering things, playing and making that item yourself. You weren't reliant on, you know, on buying keys and things like that. So.
Yeah, and like I agree, you know, obviously that's why I said they were going in hard because this was all planned. But as we've talked on the podcast so many times before, it's so, and even this even came up with, I think, Mod Jack, it's so much less about what it is, like that reality of we had this plan before, that's a reality. It's not about that reality. It's about the perception.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what triggered people again.
Hmm.
And we need to be 100% clear here is that we're not going on this path and we're not taking this stance because it's a personal crusade of ours. It's something that Tanis pointed out. I filled in the gaps. Parnassius saw the end result. And now we're having the discussion about it and questioning if having an item in game, the ensouled pumpkin mask that prevents all candles from not degrading, is a good thing at this point. And this makes me ask another question about necromancy as well. If this is happening, and I realize this might be a hot take here, I don't think I've said this on the podcast before.
I think I know where you're going.
But if we're bringing this in right now for necromancy, right? And the incense sticks and clan avatar, or no, the clan avatar doesn't work. They removed that one. But if the incense sticks and stuff like that work, and we got this boost in game right now, why not just open up necromancy daily challenges at this point? Why not give us that extra XP boost off a hero pass for necromancy at this point?
Exactly, and because
candles are useless, right? Like they're cheap enough, and you go there and you restore everything. And I have tons and tons of candles. I got candles coming out of my ears at this point. But it does send a message at that. That if we're going to be doing this, well, maybe it's just time to, rather than having it be a 6-month embargo on daily challenges and whatnot, make it 3.
Yep.
Because the race was done in the first week.
Yeah, exactly.
And at this point, you're just taking away from my fun, because I would be having so much more fun if I could do daily challenges with necromancy. I don't know if you guys
feel
the
same. Well, if you're going to do the... Well, I just feel like if you're going to let the one, then... I mean, the horse out the barn, right? So, I mean, what's the point in having the other restrictions? You know, that's if you're gonna let one, then you might as well you've opened the door. In my opinion.
Yeah,
agreed. Yep.
And I think at that point you get to a larger discussion of what the of what the core ethos of RuneScape 3 is. In terms of what is a pay-to-win boost? What is too much? When is
Show
the line
me
to
the
be drawn?
Money.
And that's exactly the thing. I was messaged by somebody this week who shall remain nameless and said that this promo is too far down the line and that, you know, hey... First, you are presented with the idea of being able to get this in-game by smashing pumpkins, and then there's a treasure hunter promo alongside of it, but also then you log into game and they're trying to upsell you to buy the 200 key pack, which automatically turns into 400, and that's at that point where you get into the realization that, okay, this is gambling for a potential in-game benefit, and there's people out there who have issues with that, and rightly so, for both personal and medical reasons. But there's also a question about that, of what that speaks to with the larger with the larger ethos and direction that RuneScape 3 will take.
Quick question on the key, double your key packs. Is that a one-off buy, or can you sort of just...
It's a one-time thing.
Okay, that's not so bad. I was like, if you could, you know... I can, you know, buy 200 and then another hour buy another 200 and, you know, keep going, then that's going to be a bit of an issue.
But yeah, I think it markets it to people based off of their treasure hunter activity, who are more than likely to interact with keys and use keys.
Well, so do you remember now a quaint little time when people were arguing about bonus experience?
Mm-hmm.
We've blown
that became
right
normalized.
Past, we've blown right past experience into, like, a legit overall buff. I'm telling you, we're not far from double XP by the hour at this point.
I still don't I still wish that they would allow us to select between stars and lamps, because I hate lamps. I want to do the skill.
Well, the answer to that, Parnassus, is to just convert whatever you get on Treasure Hunter. That's not a star into hotments. That's what the answer is.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it. But again, with if you're converting on a regular Treasure Hunter promotion into oddments, you're getting, you know, each level, whether it's, you know, the silver, the gold, the red, the purple, you're getting higher oddments. With hodments, it doesn't matter if it's a silver or a purple, you get 50 hodments if you trade it in.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay.
And there's no option to go for regular oddments.
Mm, exactly. So okay. I don't mind. You know, I'll trade the silvers in for hodments, for the 50 hodments, but I'm not going to trade a purple. The lamps I do get, if I'll just throw them under Dungeoneering because I've done everything in that, and it's not a skill I really enjoy. But,
and just for comparison's sake here right now, I don't know what the prices are, American, Australian. $70 gets 200 keys, and $140 gets 450 keys. And those promos that randomly appear for people, they will up that 200 keys to 450 for that same $70 mark.
Get keys,
but I don't
buy keys.
Right,
so that was the big package I was buying. Gotcha.
Yeah, and but I haven't been marketed personally to get the 200 to 400 one myself. So
see, that's weird because I've never bought keys, and it popped up for me today. But I do admit I've been using my oddments.
Have you also been keys. Have you also been doing daily challenges and using those keys?
Oh yeah, I always do. Anything free I'll take, but let me just have a look. Okay, 400 keys. Well, actually, that's okay. It's Australian dollars, $70 for 400
keys. So that's the promo.
Yeah, that's the promo one. So normally 200 keys is $70. So again, I may still for $70, I mean, I'll throw it. Oh, wow, you can also double your daily keys for $10 for 30 days. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and 900 keys is 140 Australian.
Okay, so they double that then for you there.
Yeah,
yeah, and when you start looking at these promos, this one's not as powerful as the wrapping paper one is. But during Fresh Start to Finish 99 Archaeology, I'll admit this at this point. I went from like 62 Archaeology to 99 on one of those 450 key packages. Including wrapping paper.
Wow.
It was so fun.
But
I beg to differ. It made me want to...
You'd really hamstring yourself on archaeology.
Right. It made me never want to do it like that again.
Yeah. I mean, I would never do it for XP personally, but for something where it's a rare and, hey,
I needed the cape override.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of, you're going for something different. But it really, I mean, that type of thing on a skill like archaeology, it really hamstrings you because you still have to go back to those lower ones and get all that stuff to complete your mysteries and all that type of stuff anyway. So.
And you know, you see where all this lands and you start saying, okay, these people have a point. Why hasn't anybody delivered this point yet in a sane way? And that's where we're at right now, I think, on this.
Mm.
Well, what I think's funny is I'm not sure we have... I know I didn't have this plan coming in tonight.
What? What? Are you sure? Because this feels like a segment that you rehearsed and planned. Are you sure?
No, I'm 100%. Yeah. This was just from playing the event and stuff, and once we started talking,
you're being 100% honest there, and I'm here. I'm looking to make sure you're not lying to me. Okay.
Because you got to tell me, and I'll play poker with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is you could have a tell, and I wouldn't find it. So that's kind of how that works.
All right. Well, gambling aside, I'm going to thank some Patreon supporters right now, because that is something that people can engage in guilt-free if they like the podcast. We don't gamble with your money. We don't ask you to gamble with your money. But this week, I'd like to thank Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Chulbura, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R., Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Ling01, Nate the Great, Nick G, Parnassius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Shirkpants, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dabbin' Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. Big, big, huge thank you goes out to all of these people for allowing us to do what we do here at RSVNB Update. It means the world to us. In addition to our experienced tier people we mentioned at the start of the show, what we're talking about is our way you can support the podcast monetarily if you so choose to by heading on over to patreon.com/RSVNB. There, starting for as little as a dollar a month, you gain access to an entire back catalog of monthly bits, which we call bonus shows that talk about one topic for an entire hour. Last month, we talked about skill guilds. Patreon members are currently voting for the next one, and much to the chagrin of Tanis and Parnassius here, it's going to be, I think it's going to be, unless it changes in the next few days, how to fix Slayer. I've been wanting to do this one for a while.
How do you fix something that ain't broken?
Well, exactly. Slayer's perfect.
That's why I'm going to have you guys on the show. I'm going to present the problems with it and the solution, and we'll see if it enhances it to make you guys like it even more, because you guys are the two Slayer junkies. Okay. All
right.
I mean, there are things that can definitely be fixed in it, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing we talk about on the show. We come up with grand realizations, and that was the realization that Sirion and I came up with on the monthly bit show, or on the Skill Guild show, was that, well, maybe this is one of the issues with Slayer, is that there's no central skill guild gathering point for it, and maybe something like that could fix it. So we do things like that. We've done our world-famous tier list. We've talked about holiday events, which is one you might want to go back to in the catalog, given the time of year that we're at. That was fun.
I enjoyed that one.
That's timely, given where we're at now with this year's Halloween event, I think. Timely. And of course, I'll also, in addition to that and the tier list, of course, mention one of Tanis's favorites, the Legacy Combat episode, which I always go back to that one because you're like, do I need to be there for this one? Is there anything you need me for on this? And at the end of the day, he became the guinea pig. He became the guinea pig and came up with a new way of doing Slayer that was more accessible than what he'd thought of before. So you get all that for $1. If you want to give $2 more, $3 a month, in total, you get a VIP rank on Discord, including chat channel access. I mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month and high-quality stereo versions of the show, in addition to everything else. If you want to give the ultimate gift for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show. And also here is where you get the RSVNB Update Christmas card in December. So, three ways to support the podcast, if you so desire, patreon.com/RSBNB, and a big, huge thank you goes out to all of our Patreon supporters for allowing us to do what we do each and every week. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So after that, Tanis's unexpected revelations on microtransactions, gambling in the direction of RS3. Anything else we need to take away from that at this point? Because, I mean, I feel like when you combine what we started the show off with and what we just finished with before this, you start to get to why people don't like this Halloween event.
Yeah, I think so. I hate to say it, but my big takeaway, I kind of want to go see what's going on in OS right now.
You're not saying that unironically.
No, I mean it. Like, I have that HD that you told me about, and I kind of want to see what's going on over there.
Yeah, and like I said, it would have been an interesting compare and contrast exercise. I didn't get to it yet this week because my old school day is Saturday, but their Halloween event is out now, too. So, And let's distill this down here. If we were to give one piece of feedback to Jagex for future Halloween events, what would it be? Aside from monetization, because that's something above all of our pay grades.
Community, or communal space, and story.
So basically, yes. A communal gathering space and a mini quest.
Yep. I mean, I love to play all the events and things, but this one, it's like, oh, okay, this is not what I was expecting. And I understand, I mean, the monetization aside, I don't care. They're a company, they need to make money, they've got overheads to cover, they've got investors, who want a return on their investment. I don't care about that type of stuff. But what I want in return for that is engaging gameplay. And I don't care if you want to bring back some of those old events and rehash, if you roll them over, have all the different events and just say, okay, we're going to replay this one, we're going to replay this one. Yeah, do it. I don't care if you rehash those with the new rewards.
And the thing I think...
give us something engaging.
And I think the reason we don't have those old ones brought back is because we're always told that it's a technical feat to be able to put something in game that was pulled from 2014 or 2015 and bring it forward to 2023 and update it and add the rewards to it, as it's told that it's just too much time. Whereas they'd rather create new and focus on monetization.
Hmm. Yeah, well, but I mean, you can still monetize those things by having the rewards on
like
Treasure
the
Hunter
HUD store
and
all that.
Exactly.
Like, to be fair, we have no problem with any of the rewards aside from that insult mask, I think, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about those then, because we kind of went down that path there. Orange Halloween, like I said, that one is the cheapest out of the three. Insold, Pumpkin Mask, and the Pumpkin Parade. That one's the cheapest of the three. We also have the Soul Dive and Soul Surge ability overrides that I haven't seen yet, but apparently they have some nice sound effects with them.
I'm just a big fan of the overrides in general. Like, I think that's a great reward space and a great customization place, right?
I was going to say that is where they need to monetize more, because you can make your character unique that way. If there's 1,000 different ways to surge out there, people are going to have different ways, so it's not the same thing over and over. I think, and that was off the last show that I was on, where we were discussing that they are missing. I think the live team are missing a lot in that regard, in those cosmetic animation rewards.
Yeah. But you know what? What has been received the best out of all of these rewards in this package for this event? The overhead emotes. There's a default thumbs up and thumbs down. But there's also a heart, a crying laughing pumpkin, a crying pumpkin, a sick pumpkin throwing up, a skeleton making a heart emoji.
Is there an angry pumpkin?
No, there is no angry pumpkin.
Oh, damn it. I would have paid for that one.
There is a necromancer facepalm and an excited Raziel emote.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, that's my emote that I put over my head whenever I get a drop at Raziel. Yeah, Tannis, you didn't hear yet, did you, this week? Parnassius was on when it happened. I got another main hand drop at Raziel for 600 mil this week.
Your RNG is stupid.
Well, that's what I said. I mean, these events, I mean, I play them all the time, but like last time I handed in, there's 280K of the wrapping, Last Wills, I think it was.
Yeah, the Soul one.
Got absolutely nothing. And Shane goes down there once with, 20K paper, and bang, gets the top prize.
You really need to, do you got a lottery up there?
Yeah, hey, I do. I don't play it, but yeah, we have those.
We'll finance it. We'll send you money each week to buy the lottery ticket. You just split it with.
Yes.
But overhead emotes. Yes. More of these, please. Holiday events. Mm-hmm. And dare I say it, I could also say that, boy, you put one of these in some Hero Pass in the future, or something like it that would exist, you'd have me jumping up and down for that. But I know it's probably a contentious point. So, but overall, more overhead emotes, please.
Yeah, I do love the Ixthlurin Temple one as well. Because what I love about the fort is being able to, you know, you can sort of change a few things around.
Pumpkins.
If you bring some, you know,
you can put
I can do
trees
my kitchen different way. Yeah, all that type of stuff. That is, I love that type.
It makes
of thing.
Me wonder, you know, what they're gonna do for Christmas with that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the last time I saw a reaction to something like this, where everybody was like, you know, you're seeing it, like, everybody has to have this, right? Like, I mean, everybody wants these emotes. It reminded me of when the happy and the angry walks came out, right? Like,
yeah,
everybody had the, you know, and you had, I mean, you just wanted it. You're like, oh, it's so cool. That's the last time I can think of that it felt like that with these overhead.
Yeah, notes. For folks on video right now, I am previewing the Ixthlurin Temple and the pumpkin trees outside. So, those ones are actually really cheap. If you just want them, go buy them on the GE. They dropped sub mill first day, so it's something you can easily go around and pick up, and it just adds a nice amount of seasonal ambience to the fort. So,
and they can be bought with your hodments too, and they're pretty. I think there are 2,500 hodments, which, you know, basically you got 1,000 free when you're logged in. So, yeah, you're pretty much halfway there.
Oh, really? That cheap?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Let me just go in Hodment Store. Let's have a look. Overhead Necromancy, 2,500. Fourth Ferinthry Chapel is 1,000 Ixthlurin, is 1,000 Hodments. So basically, you got that for free when you did it. I've already got the pumpkin trees, so I don't know how much that one was, but I'm assuming it was the same sort of price.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy gourd stoppers for 250 hodments, so that gives you your thing. Pumpkin power up puffs, 200. The only expensive ones are the two ability overrides at 35,000 hodments each, but still, you know, at least you can buy them on there as well.
If you don't get them by the time they arrive, or by the time the
exactly
event ends.
Yeah.
So, like, and see, that's like the weirdest thing with this is that on one side you have like some of the best rewards that they've ever done in terms of the fort customization and the overhead emotes and the ability overrides, but on the opposite end of it, the other end, as we talked about, and, you know, let us know if there's a different perspective, as per usual in the chat, folks. Let us know if there's a different perspective on the insold pumpkin mask. But
I mean,
if
that insold pumpkin mask was only for the duration of the event, or like the cape where you got the 30 days of it, I wouldn't mind it so much.
But it's permanent.
If it is permanent, yeah. And again, I because of what it is doing. I don't think it's a big issue, but the issue behind it is it's now opened the gates for further, more egregious rewards in that pay-to-win type situation.
And at that point, you ask yourself, and I hate to say it this way, what did we say on Hero Pass week?
What's next?
Right? Mm.
Uh-huh.
And then we say again, what's next?
Yeah, that's it. They just keep taking that little get a bit of anger, take a half step back, go another two steps, and, you know, it's just that half step back each time, but it's still not back to where it was. So they'll go two steps forward, one step back, you know, so we're still sort of getting further and further away from that that issue.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, nobody paid us to say this. Apparently it wasn't even planned. I planned to mention the insold mask and the fact it was something that was a permanent buff and, you know, just ask you guys' opinions on it, but I didn't intend for us to get to the point that we were at. So Well, it just goes to show what rational discussion does. And the part that's the most concerning about all this is that I think we're all fairly rational people and generally in favor of Jagex making a buck.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I have no issue with a company making money. I mean, that's their job, you know.
I'm not like a whale. I'm not even a shark. I'm maybe more like I'm like a catfish, maybe. But I will buy some things, you know, from time to time. I'm not opposed. It's just,
and we'll have to, as we always say, wait and see where things land and what the response will be for Christmas, because I think that'll be the telling one. And the issue and the thing that's always the most interesting about Christmas when these events like that happen is that there's no CM team to respond at Christmas, because remember, the studio goes to sleep for the last 2 weeks of December or so. So there's really no way to quick correct after a Christmas promo comes out. So we're kind of just left to let that sit and stew until the first week of January or so.
That's if we're lucky enough to have a CM team by Christmas. Those poor people. It cannot be a good time. Right
we
now.
Should check in with Mon Doom again after our episode. Because that was like he had just gotten his feet wet and he was like on this upswing towards necromancy, and everything else community perception after that has just
check in with him. I've actually just finished that episode, and he was again a great episode to listen to, just his perspectives and things. But yeah, they have a very thankless job, and it was great to hear him come out and humanize that division a little bit, because they do get a lot of crap.
Right, and you have to wonder what's going through their head now after everything.
Yeah.
So
you see him just sitting there going, oh my god, what have they done now to me now?
Well,
why they don't last so long.
Yeah, well
it's even worse when you see the train bearing down on you.
Actually, apparently, according to his social media today, he's on vacation now.
Okay. Well,
much deserved.
Good. Yeah. I was going to say he deserves it.
All right. Well, I think we've been everywhere from the good to the bad to the, dare I say it, almost predatory with the Halloween event this year. I don't think there's really anything else left to talk about on that one, so I'm going to move us on into patch notes right now, which were very tiny this week. Very, very tiny patch notes this week. Fort 4 and 3, when using a Slayer trophy on the guardhouse wall, players are now presented with multiple options for where to place the trophy. Corrected the blueprint requirements for the side gate to the woodcutter's grove. It now requires 50 construction, since it requires unwelcome guests, which also requires 50 construction. Makes sense. On the necromancy side, Malignius Mortifier can now be spoken to in the city of to complete his relevant anagram clue scroll. That's a good one, because, you know, typically he's by Port Sarum, right? So I wonder if he's closer to a teleport in than the Port Sarum lodestone with that. Thinking about it that way. I don't know. I don't do many clues. Cave Nightshade seeds are now correctly named within the Seedicide settings interface. Remember, they used to be called Belladonna seeds. And on mobile, the fight kill wave counter has been moved from the middle of the screen to the side.
That's good.
It was in the middle of the screen, guys. Which makes sense, because, you know, everybody's been going through there with necromancy and all that other fun stuff like that. But there's your patch notes for the week. But shifting gears now to something a little bit more exciting for folks, there was a survey that went out on the 18th, a quick little survey, nothing binding. The survey is called RuneFest Returns.
Come on.
They're polling the idea. So the survey says, have you ever attended RuneFest, yes or no? How likely would you be able to attend the RuneFest event. And they say, assume the event is being held in the UK and a reasonable notice period is given and the ticket price is reasonable. Very likely to very unlikely. Why would you want to attend RuneFest? Select all that apply. Your choices? You guys ready for this? Meeting content creators?
Check.
Meeting clanmates or friends?
Check.
Meeting JMods?
Check.
Yep.
Attending panels and discussions?
Check.
Yep.
Exclusive merchandise?
Ooh, check.
Yeah.
Exclusive, for the general experience and atmosphere, and for people who have gone before, that's definitely the biggest one. New gameplay demonstrations and testing.
Yeah.
New game content announcements.
Ooh, check.
Like.
Themed activities.
Nah, I'm not really into that stuff.
Golden Gnomes and Community Awards.
Nah, that doesn't really bother me.
Cosplay.
On who?
Someone else or me? Well, typically the way they do it, people dress up for it, right? And then what happens with that is that there's this is interesting. I should actually point this out to the Clan Quest people. I see the Clan Quest t-shirts in this RuneFest survey. I believe we got a back shot of Sirion and Shiro here from RuneFest 2019.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I just noticed that. See, that's why we have exclusive Clan Quest shirts, you guys. The other options... I was explaining how... Okay, that's how the...
I don't really get into cosplay that much.
That works.
But...
Sorry.
Just move your microphone a bit away. You moved it a little bit too close there. Okay, you're good.
There you go.
So here's how it works there. So what happens is that everybody who goes there and who dresses up has the option of completing the cosplay parade. And then with that... people are grouped into various subgroups, right? And then there's a voting period by a panel of judges that Jagex chooses, and with that, then you have a series of winners and runners up in a number of cosplay categories, and that's what they mean by RuneFest cosplay. There, there's like a whole parade and whatnot involved. So.
That's always fun to see. I used to watch that when they live streamed it. It's just the work that some people put into their cosplay outfits and such is just incredible.
Yeah, I know.
Sirion cosplay as his game avatar?
No, he does not. Tycho did a lot, though. Probably imagine.
Yeah. We need somebody with Sirion's outfit.
You know, there's rumors that for that he might be doing for Advent, Clan Quest Advent this year, he might be doing a live stream with that outfit.
Oh, God.
But the other options are casual LAN gaming, LAN events, competitions, or tournaments, and the night before party and the after party.
Yes, and yes.
We never went to any of those.
You didn't partay?
No, we didn't go to those.
Shane.
No.
You got a no party?
That'd be
it. Okay, you must have partied with yourselves, right? Like the questers or something. No.
I believe both evenings, Sirion and I and whatnot were into bed by like 11 PM. I don't know what was the story for other people, but...
What, local pub?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, see, I mean, they wouldn't be the reasons I'd go, but I'd certainly attend them. But
it depends what they have on offer. But then the next question is, what would be an acceptable notice period for you to consider attending RuneFest? 1 to 3 months, 4 to 6 months, 7 to 9 months, or 10 months plus? I feel like for international folks, it's probably 4 to 6, yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
And then please rank the following logistical factors in terms of how much they impact on your ability to attend. So cost of attendance, proximity to a major airport, proximity to a major city, availability of accommodations and availability and the cost of food and beverages are the option. And, and I feel like for us international people, obviously cost of attendance is going to be that first one there. So,
well, for me, it'd be more like, that of course, but you know, how close it is to an airport and accommodation.
And see, that was always the discussion about, you know, the Farnborough venue was nicer because it was a nice new convention center. It was absolutely huge. It was right by the Farnborough airport, which was about 45 minutes to an hour outside of London. But previous years, they were just, you know, right downtown London across the river there. Easy to get to by train and subway. So it's a question of, you know, do you go for something in the city or do you go for something like they used to out at Farnborough?
Yeah.
So that's kind
of as long as it's got accommodation, you know, close to it, and that's the issue,
within the first few days after 2018 and 2019 were announced, the hotels in Farnborough sold out, so people needed to stay in London and then commute. And that's because it's not a major hub, the trains were a little bit cumbersome. So.
So you're probably better off having something in the city where there's more accommodation for people.
Yeah. But then you can't get as big of a venue.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because the Farnborough venue was very much the stereotypical, you know, North American convention center kind of thing.
But surely they could sort of... I suppose, no, you couldn't really... They organized some, just some buses from London out there or something like that.
But I don't know.
It would be a logistical nightmare, but
you can have it at the basement at JAGX HQ for all I give a shit. I just want to go to a Rune Fest before I die.
And the last question, what is your comfort level with large public gatherings considering ongoing health and safety concerns?
None at all.
Not concerned.
Yeah, very comfortable on that. And, you know, of all the questions, this is the one I want to hear the answer to the most. I want to see kind of where the community falls on this. Because I feel like there's a lot of pent-up need for this in the community, I'll say, for something like a RuneFest. I forget what Behind the Crown it was, which JMOD it was, but I know it was multiple of them. And they always say that when it comes down to it, some of the things they love most are the community and what RuneFest does for them with that. And, you know, given the year we've had, would you not agree that something like that is probably a good idea at the time?
Yeah.
And, you know, Mod Jack and Mod Mark are on the record of saying when they first did RuneFest way back when in 2011, they were legitimately concerned that people might come and riot and yell at them.
Well, if people did that, I'm sure there's enough of us, you know, sane people who jump up and defend them.
But
anyway,
it never happened, and that's the thing.
No.
You're dealing with a very passionate player base, people who are paying to be there. It's very much the same sort of thing as when you build a platform and you have people pay to access it.
And what they've also got to understand, what people say behind the anonymity of a keyboard and what they'll do in actual real life is two totally different things. I mean, I'm the same regardless, but I mean, I know a guy who is... He likes to start a lot of fights and talk big and things. But when I met him in real life and said, you know, do you want to say some of those things now? He's, oh, no, how are you, mate? And, oh, he's my best friend. So, you know.
You're talking about President Trump?
keyboard cowboys.
No. So it was someone down here who lived close to me, and I said, "Listen, let's get together and have a discussion." You know, I'm happy, and he actually agreed. We went out for a coffee, and
it's entirely different when you put people in person compared to the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. And I still love Trump, so don't pick on Trump.
But
you can have him. Please.
I've even got my Trump toilet paper.
Amazing what you see on these video shows. But I don't know how long this survey is going to be up for, folks, so go fill this in. It's linked on the show notes at update.show. I link to the tweet because it is a little suspicious being linked to a random forums.office survey and not knowing what it is. And I think the last thing I'll say with this is that this does not guarantee that RuneFest will be coming back. This is just, in a way, as I would imagine, kind of a way to test the waters to see where things are at.
And if they do announce it, I mean, it'll cost me a fortune from Australia, but it's probably something that I would try and attend in the next year or two.
And I think with what everybody felt in 2019 and how they skipped 20, 21, 22, 23, I think people are going to realize that, well, we have the chance now, given, you know, this is a 20-plus-year-old game. Is this something that we want to do at this point? Yes, no. Can it be done? Yada, yada, yada. People will realize that they probably would want to do this. And it underscores, again, I think, the breadth of this community. And to just kind of put yourself in kind of an atmosphere where you're around these like-minded people. And see, that's the thing that people don't realize about this is that people think there's some rift between old school and RS3, right? But it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And
it's the same people.
And you go back to what you had, what I witnessed at 2018, where, you know, you meet up and you realize that you're sharing a table with people who are from the old school side. They want to learn as much about RS3 as you want to hear about old school. And that's a really interesting thing to talk about. So that's the kind of people who go to these
games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, you know, I mean, I make a lot of jokes and they're always tongue in cheek because I play a bit of old school and I don't mind it. You know, the graphics sort of could do a bit of a lift up for me, but I mean
HDOS.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard about that, but I don't like third party things, but anyway.
It's supported by the Jagex launcher now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, we're all gamers. We all love RuneScape, whether it's old school or RS3. You know, it's yes, there, you know, people say things and do things, and a lot of it's just for the attention or for clickbaiting. I mean, I know Twitch streamers will say things, and you know, they don't mean it. They're just there to get the crowd riled up and things like that. And you know, it's there's no, I don't think there's any true hate between the two games.
No, there's not. There's not. No.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Come on, RuneFest. I will get a freaking passport and travel internationally, something I have never done for this. I mean, come on.
You're committed already before even knowing when it would be?
Dude, I don't give a shit. No.
I'll do it. I've actually paid off my credit card, and I was actually getting rid of it, but I'm going to hang on to it just in case now.
Okay. Wow. You guys are further
ahead. If they do it, yeah, I mean, in terms of commitment. I've always wanted to attend one, and after the last 3 years, it's like, you know, things happen that I would never, ever have believed would be able to happen in the modern world. So, you know, it's like, hey, live every day as full as I can, and, you know, if I can get to one of these events, do it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be my only chance, so.
Right. And I think it comes down to the question of that health and safety question, because the last thing I think, and from my understanding, the problem that has been with these events before is that there was no way to take out liability on this if somebody got sick and died after it. And that's like a harsh thing to say, but that's kind of what the calculus boiled down to these past 2 years.
I can walk out in the street and get hit by the garbage truck. I mean, that type of thing, I'm sorry. If you're scared about that stuff, don't attend, but don't stop the rest of us from living life.
You're probably not going to have a problem from the Aussies and the Americans. I don't know about you Canadians there, Shane, but I don't think we're the ones to get a little too fussed about that.
Right, and when it comes to germs and pathogens and whatnot, I feel like everybody's regressed to pre-pandemic at this point, just in terms of the ways to keep clean that we all learned, right? So,
well, everyone's had it at this point. You kind of know what to expect.
I haven't had it officially. Unofficially, I think I did.
Yeah.
I finally got it in January this year.
Yeah.
And that's having over during the actual pandemic, because my ex-wife had her father who was suffering dementia living there. So as each member of the family over there got it, they had to come and stay here for 2 weeks. We're sitting on the couch cooking dinner for each other. I mean, the couch is, two-person couch. Yeah, 18 hours a day stuck inside with these people because that was during lockdowns. I never got it once, and I'm unvaxxed. I didn't go for the vax. I had four separate occasions, never got it once. I started wearing the mask at the start. I got tonsillitis 3 times in 4 months. My doctor said it's because of the mask. Stop wearing it. He says they don't do anyone any good anyway. So I stopped wearing, never wore masks, never did all that stuff, and I didn't get it until January this year.
So I did all the things, got it anyway. But yep. It didn't matter.
I think
daughter, triple vax daughter, has had it 3 times.
I think he came to me in January 2020 before we knew what was happening. I was just really sick with respiratory stuff there for about 2.5 weeks. So
yep.
I think that's what it was.
Probably. Yeah, I was going to say.
I've known a lot of people say
your
that.
Immune system was already up against it. Yep.
Yeah. It was literally the January 4th or something. You remember that when we came on the show in 2020? You said I sounded horrible, but we did it anyways there?
Yep.
That's when that was. But anyways, RuneFest public safety and health concerns aside, it might be happening. Check out the survey if you're interested at update.show. It's linked there. And with that, we're going to move on to our achievements of the week. This week, starting off, Elder Onyx got 99 necromancy on the 18th. Kedgeworth got 200 mil constitution on the 18th. And Rolladude 540 got 120 slayer.
All right. And moving on, Alio Sif got 99 necromancy on the 16th. We have Dan Bridge with 99 fire making on the 16th, and let's see, Pentaside with 99 agility on the 16th.
And moving on from there, on October 15th, we have Nafan with 99 necromancy. Psy Oasis, also October 15th, with 120 fire making. And on October 14th, with 99 construction, was Cyanir.
Nicely done, folks. Nicely done. Alrighty. We've had some interesting picks of the week. We've had games, we've had movies, we've had books and whatnot in the recent weeks, but I have a pick of the week that is computer security based, in particular to deal with your passwords. And this is something that's been kind of brewing for a while, and there's this implementation of this thing called the passkey, and I wanted to talk about it, and I've wanted to talk about it for a long time now on the show, but it wasn't really the right time because it was only supported by password managers and it wasn't widespread. But now I can talk about it, and I feel like it's something that you guys, our listeners, might want to look into, in that now it's supported by Windows 11, it's supported by the newest versions of macOS, iOS, and Android, it's supported by Safari, it's supported by Chrome. And the idea behind this is that passkeys are designed to replace a password. So with this, you might sign into a web service like Google, you might sign into Apple, you might sign into Microsoft or something similar. Right now, they're really only supported by these big companies and some of the more technical companies out there like GitHub For example, apparently Uber also supports them, which is interesting. But the idea behind it is that you can sign in to your Google account, go to the security section, and say, give me a passkey. And then your password manager, whether you use the password manager built into macOS, iOS, the Google Chrome password manager, 1Password, the Windows password manager, those password managers will save that passkey. And then, if you are to go and sign into Google on a new device, you just say, use passkey. And what will happen then is if that passkey is stored on your device, you will just get signed in, and you won't need to enter your password. If it's not stored on your device, you'll be given a QR code that you can scan with your phone. And that QR code will open up the password manager, something like 1Password, the iOS password manager, the Android password manager in Chrome. It'll open it up and provide that passkey when you scan that QR code, and you'll just be signed in. So what this does is this enables you to sign into websites without using a password, which is important because it means you don't need to manage a password in terms of its complexity. You don't need to worry about getting keylogged. And it also makes it so that you don't need to put the brain power into coming up with an ultra strong password, which is something we all struggle with in this day and age to prevent ourselves from being hacked. And now you're probably asking, how does this work? Well, it uses something called public-private key cryptography that's been in place for many years. Linux people have been using it for years to sign into their Linux systems without passwords. And passkeys is the public implementation of it that brings it to things like Chrome, Safari, iOS, macOS, Windows, and so many other modern platforms, and just lets you have that ability to sign into something without using a password. And the reason it's pick of the week now is that it's supported by 1Password, it's supported by the newest versions of macOS and iOS, and it's actually supported by Windows. I wanted to talk about this last year, but I didn't because it wasn't supported by all those password managers. So if this is something that sounds interesting to you and you don't like managing your passwords for something like Google or Apple or Microsoft, a passkey might be something to look into. So what I've done is I've linked to the Google webpage on passkeys. It's got a good explainer video. It's got a little bit about the technology and how it works behind the scenes. But safe to say, if you're already using 1Password or another password manager, it probably has support for that. And I'll also just double down on this, that if you're not already using a password manager, now is a good time to start with something like 1Password or even just the password managers built into Chrome and iOS. So, do you guys have any questions about this?
What happened? Like, is there any way that you can, like, lose your passkey
and
not be able to recover?
No, because the passkeys are stored encrypted in either the secure enclave on your device or an encrypted file in your password manager.
So even if someone does get in to get it, it's encrypted so they can't read it to use anyway.
So the only way it could really get you hosed is if for some reason they got access to your phone.
Okay.
I need to underscore, and this will be my last point on it, this is still really early days for the technology, and it's something that is really only supported by the big players at this point. And the next goal is going to be to get it supported by the Reddits of the world, the Facebooks of the world, Twitter, Jagex, that level of company, and then we can start thinking about other websites, getting them to support passcodes after that. But it is theoretically possible with this to move through a world and completely get rid of passwords in most applications if passcodes are widely adopted. I don't know if or when that'll be, but it's definitely something that is on the radar now with it. And that's why this is pick of the week, because it's just able to be done in a much more widespread manner now that so many different operating systems and password managers actually support it. So, That's the pick of the week.
So it's basically just, sorry, if I can, it's just, so it's on your phone. It's locked to your phone.
Yeah, or password manager.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and then it basically transports part of a token, does some math with the cryptology, and with that makes the decision about whether or not to grant access to you.
And if, say, you don't have your phone with you, or it ran out of battery and you're away and you want to log on and check your email on a friend's computer, you can still use your old password?
Yeah, passwords are not going away for that reason. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, for people who have been using password managers, this is the next logical step. Because my passwords are 15 to 20 characters long of random gibberish. I don't know any of them except for maybe one or two of them.
Mm.
So, they're all in the password manager. That's kind of where I'm at. Very good. Mm. But what have we been doing on RS? Let's go to you, Tanis, given the most recent technical thing that's cropped up for us here. Just bear with us, folks, as we deal with a bit of lag.
Just gathering... wood cutting, you know, back to that, working a little bit with the Halloween event, you know, trying to do a party when I am on and can jump into it. But that's really about it. Just taking it easy. I've also been, you know, playing the theme deck, playing some older stuff. Also given, you know, the new Forza Motorsport a spin.
Oh shit, that came out, right?
Highly recommend.
And those are always good for accessibility and whatnot too.
And every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. And this is right along the same line. So yeah, that's been about what I've been up to. And probably it's gonna be what I'm up to because I think I'm gonna do this wood cutting. Now that they've fixed kind of elders, I think that's the route I'm going to take the whole way.
I wish I could have took that route.
So,
all right.
Taking that route to 200.
How about you, Pernasius?
Yeah, just a lot of the Halloween stuff, just getting my hero pass points up. Just clicked over 178, unlocked everything in the shop, so all I've got now is is these hero satchels, which you can get to a day of. I've already got, you know, enough points up to buy for the next 2 days if I did nothing. I did pick up the Hermod pet yesterday at 386 kills. So that was good. And other than that, not a lot. Just walking the dogs, trying to read Stephen King's new book, Holly. He's probably my favorite author, but I don't know. I think he's losing a little bit recent times. Some of the stuff he's going on about in this book about real life stuff, you can tell sort of where his allegiances lie.
Yeah, that blurring
made it a little tough.
The blurring of people as their own person into author and writer into their characters is always annoying when that happens. I always feel that characters should be distinct, and you know, there's ways to work them in.
This character has been this is the fifth book she's been in, so she's had a certain way, and now all of a sudden. She's bringing a lot of political and health stuff into her that sort of didn't really suit the character from earlier things, but hey, that's the way it goes sometimes. So it's been a bit of a hard read, but other than that, that's me.
All right, sounds good. As for me, I finally got around to perking out my tier 95 necromancer gear, and I took it to Raziel. As I mentioned, I got another drop, the main hand,
Omniguard.
The main hand weapon, the Omniguard. Yeah. Those are down to about 590 mil. And I mean, hey,
only 590.
No, it is actually great to have these things dropping in price and have all PVM gear dropping in price because it makes things more accessible for everybody.
For everyone. Yeah. No, totally agree on that. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I picked up my set of those. Right.
Paid for your perks.
Bill.
Oh, and here's the thing. I use the cheapest possible perks. I don't use any of that Aftershock nonsense. My most expensive Biting 4. I use Precise 6, Equilibrium 4 on Dead Slayer, on the weapons, on the body it's biting for venom blood, crackling, I believe, and relentless. I think that might be.
Yeah, he's got you exactly the same as I use.
And then on the legs, it's impatient. It's impatient for mobile and enhanced devoted. Or it's like a cheap setup of perks. It gets me, you know, 90% of the way there to the best in slot, and I just don't feel the need to sink that much into perks. I don't want to. I'm not, you know, min-maxing at this point in time. And I could do that, but I'm not going to. And I hate building perks. So I build what I know. I don't like working with the RNG. I would love
stream being sold.
Yeah, I would like to have perks be sold on the exchange.
Yeah.
But
I really think we're at that point now where they should allow us to be able to just buy them for people who sort of make them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Shane, hey, you got enough money off that one drop to get your masks and a Halloween mask.
Yeah, I could do that. I could do that, but I think I'm going to actually save the money for Christmas, because knowing them, there'll be a Christmas rare coming up that I want with that. So,
you and your Black Santa, that you know. True. Well, how many balloons did you pop for that? Three. One. Wow. First balloon. I attended every single event for like 10 hours. I was on 10 hours a day during that time, going to every event and didn't get a thing. He occasionally gets one balloon, one black hat.
Yeah.
We'll need to borrow that horseshoe, Shane.
But aside from that, got 116 necromancy before the show and just been farming herbs in the free time doing necromancy. No, I won't say this next thing, but stay tuned for an announcement in the November time period on something.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's what we've been up to. Cool. I don't think there's anything else we need to say. So thanks everybody for joining us on this episode of RSBNB Update. Of course, as a reminder, if you want to get the podcast delivered to you automatically, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on a whole myriad of podcast listeners: Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB, where you can see all of our shining faces each and every week. Technical issues aside, we'll have to figure out if this is persisting or if it's going to be two and done, based on where we're at. But nonetheless, update.show/subscribe on your favorite podcast listener, or youtube.com/RSBNB. And of course, thank you, Parnassius, for joining us.
Thanking you.
And Tannis and I will be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Happy Skyping, all.
See ya.